from 2 Peter and then preach to you from the Gospels. You'll see why in a moment. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth which is with you. And I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Look at verse 15. Yea, I will give diligence that at every time ye may be able after my decease to call these things to remembrance. Three times. Now, look at chapter 3. Verse 2. He tells them that this is his second epistle. And verse 1. This is now, beloved, the second epistle that I write unto you, and in both of them I stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance, that you should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostle. Let us speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we are glad for the instruction that is ours in this book. There is so much of it, our Father, so many new things that we want to know. We are glad, our God, that you have pointed out what is essential and the other things also that are good to know, but the things that are essential. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send. I know whom I have believed. We thank you, Father, for that knowledge possessed by all of us who have Christ as our Savior. We must know him. But our Father, thou dost tell us of other things that we are to know, and we are glad that thy Son himself has designated a few of the many things that we should know. So from what we've read, may the desire in the heart of thine apostle Peter be fulfilled by his putting us in remembrance of these things. You know our hearts. Prepare them, Father, to receive the word, and you know how futile is the speaking of words unless thy Spirit doth empower the words that are spoken. We remember what Paul said, how that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. And that is what we desire. And you had promised, our Father, that if we confess our sins, you would be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fulfill that promise also. Bless us this time, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Savior, in Matthew 13, speaks about a man that is an householder bringing out things new and old, but the exhortations and the desire of the Apostle Peter, in the portions I have read to you, is not for the Christians to learn any new thing, but to remember the old things that they have known and have been established in the length of days. You say, well, that seems as if it's redundant. If I know these things, if I'm established in them, I read to you 5 times that Peter said, I want you to remember, I want you to remember. So, instead of being like those Athenians, it says the Athenians spent their time in nothing else than to tell or hear some new thing. And that's what Christians love. If I were going to come and tell you some choice tidbit about the future, some prophecy that you hadn't heard before, you'd say, yes, I want to hear that. Or shall I just tell you the old, old story about Christ going to the cross? We know that. Don't tell us that anymore. And that is the very thing that Peter says he is writing them for the purpose of. That is, to stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance. So, while you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, what God wants us to do is to meditate, to dwell upon the things that we have known and been established in for years. He speaks of two things. He says, I want you to remember the words of the holy prophets. Here are things in the Old Testament. And then he says also the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ spoken to you by the apostles. So he tells us he wants us to remember the commandments of the old and the new, telling us two things, that the old is equal to the new. This is remarkable. Some would say no, the old is superior to the new, and some would say no, the new is superior to the old. But what you must remember is that the only Bible that the Christians had at the first was the Old Testament. They were compelled to search out the scriptures that Peter spoke about in his first epistle. It said these prophets prophesied of these things, searching what time and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them did point to when it testified of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. Suppose you had to come and preach the gospel to me from the Old Testament. Where would you turn? Where would be a good place to turn?
Isaiah
53. That is what Philip did for the eunuch. Philip didn't even have to search it out. The eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, the sufferings of Christ. You could turn to Psalm 22. That would be fine. You could turn to Zechariah. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. You could turn to what our Savior said as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him. God has already told us the portions in the Old Testament that they would use about the sufferings of Christ. And then it says the glory that should follow. And so they had to be distinguished. And the prophets had it interpreted to them that what they were writing about was not for them, but for us. Isn't that remarkable? The Old Testament is for us. And once they ascertained it was not for them, they had to rest content with the truth that they had, understanding that what they had prophesied was for those in the future, such as Daniel. Said Daniel, no, not for you. Everything is closed until the time of the end. But remember that God has told us that we are to remember the commandments, the words, the teachings of the holy prophets. And those are the Old Testament portions. I'm wondering what we would do if we were challenged by an Orthodox Jew, if you would be able to deal with him from his Bible, because I can assure you he would not accept your Bible. We are so glad we have it, but at the same time, that is what they had. And then it says also the words, the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior, spoken to you by his apostles. This is what you must remember, that the words that are spoken by the apostles, the writings of the New Testament, are on an equality. They are not superior, because the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it does not mean that one portion is more inspired than another. It does not mean that all portions are equal, because our Savior said the weightier matters of the law. And so if the Savior says some matters of the law are weightier than others, though all is inspired, there are some matters weightier than others. And some Christians seem to be able to pick the less weighty things of the law and preach them to you. You must tithe mint and anise and cumin. And the Lord Jesus said, yes, you are to do that, but you've left undone the weightier matters of the law, faith and love things of that nature. So, what Peter wants to happen in the hearts and minds of those to whom he writes, he wants them to be stirred up by having them to remember the things of old and the things of new, to call to mind again those things that the Old Testament prophets spoke and that the New Testament prophets spoke. Now let me ask you this. How many of you can call to mind something you've never known before? Can you do that, Wesley? Of course not. So these are things that you are to know. And I rejoice in this, that there are things that you have learned in the past that God can bring to your remembrance. And for that reason, I shall give you this scripture that our Savior promised in the Upper Room Discourse, saying that the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance the things that Christ had spoken unto them. That is one of the functions of the Spirit of God. The information that you have stored in your mind, for Him to bring it to your attention at the proper time in your life. When our Savior was tempted for those 40 days in the wilderness, Satan came upon Him with various temptations. And whenever a temptation came, the Savior, who had committed God's word to his heart, brought those scriptures to the attention of Satan, and they were brought to his attention by the Spirit of God. You say, how do you know that? Why was Christ in the wilderness? Why does it say he was in the wilderness? Do you remember? It said he was driven of the Spirit in the wilderness. It said Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God, and do not think, and this is something that those that are so highly combative about the deity of Christ refuse to acknowledge, Luke 2:52. The inspired word says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. While being God, he was man. And when he was born, he was small and he increased in stature, that is physical development. He increased in wisdom, that is mental development. He increased in favor with God, that is spiritual development, and man, that is social development. And there was an increase in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Savior took the scriptures and committed them to memory, and when a temptation came, the Savior said, it is written. And then when Satan would give him a scripture, he said, again, it is written. Our Savior, by his study for those 30 years as he was a carpenter, you think that he did nothing but work on wood his whole life long? During that time, God gave him training at home. And without the training of the schools and the learned, when the Lord Jesus came forth, he had this scripture in his heart, and he was able by the Spirit to have brought to the attention of any temptation that came the very portion that was necessary to confound the enemy. Now, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to hide his word in our heart, that when Satan says, fall down and worship me, immediately there is to come to mind, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And if you say, I still believe that miracles are present today, and Satan says, well, good, cast yourself off the temple, you had better know another scripture like the Lord Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And if you are hungry, and if you are tempted like Abraham to have a son, and remember, he had been given that promise when he was 75, and if you're going to have a son, if you're 75, you'd better have him as soon as you can. But God said, I'm going to let you wait till you're 99. But then he and Sarah agreed to bring it about in a different way with Hagar. But you must understand that when this happens, you wait God's time. Why? If God had been making you wait for food 40 days, Don't you think it's time for you to take in hand your own situation and eat something quickly before you starve to death? And after these 40 days, whereas Abraham and Sarah could not wait, the Lord Jesus, when Satan said, command that these stones be turned into bread, the Savior said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Had he turned those stones into bread, we would have said, he's justified. God could not expect him to starve to death. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were threatened with death, they said, King, we want you to understand this. The God that we serve is able to deliver us, and if he wants to, he will deliver us. But you must understand this. If he doesn't deliver us, we are not going to worship your gods. Now, do you have that kind of faith? I know he's able, and I'm going to wait for him to do it. And so God did not deliver them from the burning fiery furnace, but he delivered them through it and out of it. But you and I are talking about a faith that is foreign to us. Yet, I wanted you to read Hebrews 11:11. I will quote it to you. This Sarah that laughed at God, it says in Romans 4, that Abraham waxed strong in faith, and yet he had laughed. And it says in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Sarah received strength to conceive in her old age. Isn't that remarkable? So even though she laughed and she was rebuked by those angelic beings that were listening to her, she said, I didn't laugh. It says in Hebrews 11, by faith she received power to conceive. And so at 90 she didn't have that power, but her faith, we are told, empowered her to conceive. So God brings out the bad and the good. And at times, he brings out the good only in a certain way in the New Testament, and we were unfamiliar with it. All right, so, Peter says, at this time, I do not want you to learn new things. Evidently, these are mature Christians because they know the truth, they are established in the truth, and they have understood this concerning apostles, and you remember it. That it said that the Christians in Acts 2:42 continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. These were the things. And the apostles' doctrine was that in which they continued steadfastly, because Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge that the things which I write unto you are the commands of the Lord. So, you think you're a prophet, you're spiritual? Well, then God must have told you that what I'm writing is the command of the Lord. That's why we believe in apostles' doctrine. So, Peter says, you remember this. The words of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord spoken to you through his apostles. So, what I want to do is this. To bring four things that the Savior told us to remember, and it's remarkable when they are grouped together. I will tell you the four, and then as time allows, I will tell you somewhat about them. These are four things that the Savior told us to remember. The first thing, and the message today is things to remember. The Savior said in Luke 17, remember Lot's wife. That's one woman he told us to remember. She's a bad example. But the Savior says, remember Lot's wife. The next one he tells us to remember is another woman. Of the four times he tells us to remember things, two times they are women. The second time it's a good woman. It's Mary. You don't realize it, but it's the same word, root word in the original. When Mary came, and you find that it was Mary by comparing John 12 with Mark 14, you find that the Savior said, wheresoever this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, the thing that this woman hath done shall be a remembrance of her. The Savior said, this woman is to be remembered. So think, you women, the Savior could point to you and say, remember. Would he point you out as Lot's wife to be remembered? Or would he point you out as Mary, the one that anointed our Savior with that alabaster box of ointment? You say, I see. So the Savior said, I want you to remember a bad woman, and I want you to remember a good woman. You'll find in the Upper Room Discourse, and I will just tell you the one. He said, the words that I've spoken unto you, these events, these things that are going to come to pass, he said, I've told you before they come to pass, that when they do come to pass, you may remember that I told them unto you. Why is that important? Because, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's to come upon you as though a strange thing happened unto you. You say, oh God, why is this happening? Things aren't working out as they should. The Lord Jesus said, I told you in advance what is going to happen to you, so that when they do occur, you may remember why the Savior said, this is what is going to occur. And you're expecting the world to get better? The Savior said, evil men and seducers, Paul did, shall wax worse and worse. You're expecting men to get better? And are you expecting things to get better at the last? It said, and because iniquity shall abound, it says, the love of the many shall wax cold. God says in the end times, things are going to get worse. You'll find it in Timothy twice, in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy. He says, in the latter days, evil times shall come, for men shall be, and men are not getting better, they're getting worse. And we look around and we say, what's happening? We can remember that the Savior says, I told you in advance the things that were going to happen, so that when they did happen, you would remember that I told you these things. And then the one that all of us know that the Savior said in the Gospel of Luke, he said, this do what? In remembrance of me. That's the one that we know. So think now, isn't that remarkable? He says, remember a bad woman, remember a good woman, remember the things that I've told you pertaining to the future, so that when they are fulfilled, you may remember that I told you. And then he said, this do in remembrance of me. Those four things. And all of them we should know. You'll find Luke's gospel very remarkable for this reason. You'll find the similar discourse in chapter 21. They call it the Olivet Discourse, which you find in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. But you find something similar there in Luke 21. But in Luke 17, you find some of the things in the last discourse in Luke 17. And also you find about the coming of the bridegroom in Luke 12 as well. That's what's remarkable. But the only thing that matters is that our Savior speaks of certain things in the gospel, in one gospel and another. But in Luke 17, he is speaking of the things that I have been preaching to them about from 2 Peter. This is remarkable. That Peter says, I want you to remember the things that the Old Testament prophets wrote. And one of the things that Peter wrote about in his second epistle was Lot. But the Savior says, I want you to remember that same thing, but I do not want you to remember Lot, but I want you to remember Lot's wife. Why? Because, just as in the case of Abraham, his being remiss, as we had in the study this morning, so Lot was remiss in looking at the well-watered plains and saying, I want to pitch my tent toward Sodom. I want to be there. And so he became a part of that wicked environment. But then in 2 Peter, we are told that Lot was a righteous man. Some things that we may have guessed in reading Genesis, but then you might not have guessed it. But we are told by Peter that he was a righteous man. But a righteous man can be so bound up in his environment and in his possessions that it takes angelic power to get him out. Suppose someone had told you in the Philippines, this mountain, this volcano is going to erupt. I think I would flee for my life. And the angels came and said, get out, because God is going to destroy this city. and they would not get out. And we are told that the two angels had to take Lot by the hand, and his wife by the hand, and his two daughters by the hand, and drag them out of the city. So bound up was their Lot with the life of Sodom. They hated him there, but at the same time, he had become a part of it, enmeshed in it. And God, being gracious, told him, I'm going to destroy the city, and he had to drag him out, and then Lot was able to persuade this heavenly being, please give me a city, give me a little city. And the angel said, I'll give you a city. You may have Zoar. And so he gave him that city of Zoar. But what happened was this. Even though God dragged Lot and his family out, it says Lot's wife behind Lot looked backward and turned into a pillar of salt. You see why you have to remember Lot's wife? Tell me, how much is your life bound up with this world in which you live? The Savior said, Father, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from evil. So it is not our being in an evil place, such as Abraham going to where he should not, Lot going to Sodom, because any place in the world is an evil place, but there are some parts of the world that are better than others, and do not, unless God tells you to go as a missionary to a certain place, do not go there. I used to frequent bars as a young man, but thank God, at that time I had courage and I was in bars giving out tracts to the people, and one was going to beat me up, and another fellow that was bigger than he came over and said, leave him alone. And he used to go to school with me, and he had remembered me. And so it's all right to be in a bar if you're there giving out tracts, but if you're there a part of it, that is bad. But the sad thing is that Lot was not there for a good reason to convert these inhabitants of Sodom, but he loved the well-watered plains. So what God is telling you is this. Even though we are not of the world, still our hearts can be filled with the world. It says that God has put eternity in the heart. Well, Satan and our fallen nature can put the world in our heart. And Paul had to say concerning the Corinthians, you are carnal. So remember, even though it may be that God is going to deliver you miraculously out of Sodom, is it not sad that your heart is so bound up with that wicked environment that you have to turn back and look at what you've lost? That was Lot's wife. And yet the Apostle Paul said, I count all things to be dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. And so that's the way he looked upon them. Paul, look back at what you've left. He said, look back at dung. And Lot's wife had to look back, even though God had graciously dragged her out. And the Savior said, things are coming in a future day. And if you're on the housetop, do not go down to get your possessions on the inside. And he gives us an illustration. Lot's wife. God had taken her out, but she turned around and she turned into a pillar of salt. Have no time to go into that explanation. All right. Let's consider this other woman. So often, people have an evaluation of what you do. And many times, the person who evaluates you is wrong, but they're able to persuade you to agree with them. If you read the Synoptic Gospels and the Gospel of John, you understand the story completely. There was a thief among the 12. His name was Judas Iscariot, and he took out what was put in the bag. To think of our Savior at times having to look for breakfast on a fig tree, and this thief was stealing the little money that came in. And so when Mary anointed our Lord with this alabaster box of ointment, he said, this could have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. And John said he cared nothing for the poor. He was stealing what was put in the bag. But if you read Matthew and Mark, you will discover that he was able to cause others to join in with it. What is this woman doing? And that is what is bad. A person is doing something that is divine, that is of God, and a thief will misinterpret it and rebuke the person that's doing something glorifying to God, and that person can persuade you to join in with their criticism of something that is of heaven. Is that not sad? The Savior said, leave her alone. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burying. And this is what I'm telling you about this woman that you say that's all wrong. I'm telling you that wherever the gospel is preached, the thing that she's done shall be spoken of for a remembrance of her. I want you to remember me. And I'm determined that this woman that you're criticizing, this woman is going to be remembered. And I fulfill my responsibility. As I've preached you the gospel, I've also done what the Savior said. While the gospel is preached, what this woman has done for the Savior has been mentioned. So today, this woman who lavished this rich gift upon the Savior is immortalized. Would you be willing to give something of value to be remembered forever in a good way by the people of God? Do you not think that Lot's wife would like to eradicate the memory of her heart being taken up with Sodom and its sins and its possessions? You say yes. And Mary went to glorify the Lord, having no idea that this thing would be immortalized in Scripture that shall abide forever. But the Savior said she's going to be remembered. It's a memorial of her. All right. I touched briefly on the words that the Savior said concerning the future. He knew in advance. He said, all of you are going to be scattered tonight. You're going to be stumbled. Why? Because it says in Zechariah, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. He told them in advance. He told Peter. He said, I want you to understand that you're going to deny me thrice before the cock crow twice. And Peter said, no. But the Savior told it in advance. And when it happened, I'll mention this, because I wanted to tell you also things to be remembered and things remembered. And Peter forgot while he was perpetrating the very things that the Savior had predicted. He was denying one time, denying another time, and then he denied three times, and the rooster crowed. And it says the Savior turned and looked at Peter. And it said he remembered the words that the Savior had spoken unto him, and he went out and wept bitterly. Do you see why you have to remember? The Savior says, I'm telling you in advance, remember these things. Peter forgot, and then he remembered. And what a blow. But the Savior told me I was going to deny him. How could I have done such a thing? And let me just tell you this quickly while I can. You'll find also that some things were remembered as Scripture was being fulfilled. When the Savior was cleansing the temple in John 2, it said the disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for thine house hath eaten me up. But when the Savior said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up, they did not understand that. They said, but after he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this. Then they remembered, you see. The Savior said, I'm telling you, and when it comes to pass, you remember that I told you. And also, when they were casting down their garments and the palm branches before our Savior as he rode into Jerusalem, they did not understand what was happening. It said, but afterwards, they remembered that they had done this thing. They were fulfilling Scripture, not realizing that they were fulfilling Scripture, but later on, after these things, they remembered. And that is what is so good. When you can look back over your life and see the hand of God, see the providence of God, and see how all these things have been spoken beforehand. All of these things. The Savior said this, the one with which we are most familiar. You'll find it in Luke 22 and in 1 Corinthians 11. You find those accounts. You do not find it in Matthew and Mark and John. But in Luke 22, only there do you find the Savior saying, this do in remembrance me. And it was something special. Notice, while he says, this do in remembrance of me, he does not say my death. That would limit it too much. But at the same time, he does not say, remember me, because that would be too broad. But he says, this do, a particular act a remembrance feast of the Lord, breaking bread, partaking of the fruit of the vine. He said, this do in remembrance of me. And it says it, if you'll read both Luke and 1 Corinthians, he said, he took the bread, he said, this do in remembrance of me. He took the fruit of the vine, and he said, this do in remembrance of me. So the thing, and there are only four that the Savior spoke of in this specific way to be remembered, one of them was concerning him. He said, the thing that I want you to remember is my death, my body, my blood. This I want you to do in remembrance of me. So, is it not strange that while he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that's something we're to do for men. He said, there is one thing I want you to do for me, and I want you to remember. And as we remember, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We have to remember that the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in that body that was made by the Father, a body hast thou prepared me, in that body he bore our sins on the cross. The Savior said, I want you to remember that about me. And his blood was shed. The soldier came and pierced his side with a spear, and there came out blood and water. The Savior said, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that this is my body that is given for you, my body that bears your sins, and this is my blood of the new covenant that is made with many. It's shed for many. I want you to understand that. He said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Now, that isn't much to remember. The Savior says, remember Lot's wife. But if you remember Lot's wife, then you will be able to have Christ's prayer fulfilled in John 17. He said, Father, take them not out of the world. Keep them from evil. If you wanted to commit evil and invest your life in the world, and you remembered Lot's wife, what would you do? You say, I would stay out of the world, and I would flee for my life. Why, of course you would. And so the Savior says, remember Lot's wife. But you forgot about Lot's wife. You forgot about Lot. That even though he was a righteous man, his life was bound up with Sodom. And Sodom filled his heart. And the angels had to drag him and his wife out. And even though she was dragged out, her heart was still in Sodom. And she turned into a pillar of salt. You realize that the Bible says this? It says that the people of God became abominable like that which they loved. You'll become like that which you love. And if it's something bad, you'll become abominable. And if it's something good, it will be delightful. We, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. If you love the Lord, then you'll become like that. And if you love his appearing, it says, you'll receive the crown of righteousness. You become like that which you love. And the Savior says, I want you to remember me and my death, and I want you to remember good things. So, if you remember Lot's wife, it will save you from Sodom and the loss of everything. When Sodom was destroyed, all Lot's possessions went up in ashes. And that is what Peter says. He says, this entire universe is going to be burned up by fire, and God is going to make new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It said, seeing these things are thus to be, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living? So here we are. And if we understand about the world to come and this little world that we live in now, that you're going to be burned with fire, and you remember Lot's wife, and we're going to be like Abraham. Abraham in the distance was looking over Sodom, and he lost nothing in Sodom when it went up in fire. You say, yes. And if we remember Mary, then some of the pittances we've given to the Lord, and oh, it's such a sacrifice to give this, you will understand that nothing is too precious to give to the Lord. A memorial of what this woman has done for me. I'm going to do this because God has burdened my heart to do it. I do not care what Judas and the apostles say. This is of God. my Savior is worth it, and I'm going to anoint him. And when the women came to anoint him, this woman had already anointed him beforehand for his burial. Remember Mary. This is a memorial of her. His words, and then remember me. And what is so sad is that if you remember him, you will please his heart and be obedient, and you will be like that 10th leper rather than like the 9 who are cleansed, but you haven't returned to give glory unto God. So remember these things the Savior told us to remember, and all shall be well. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you'll forgive us for forgetting. We remember that our Savior rebuked his disciples. It said, "Do you not remember the loaves and the fishes?" And they had forgotten. And our Father, how quickly we forget the lessons that you teach us, and we think that we know them and are established in them, and then someone comes and tells us something that we've heard again and again. And yet, our Father, we are glad that 5 times this apostle says, "I'm going to stir up your sincere minds by putting you in remembrance." So, Father, indeed, we are to bring things out of our treasure, things new and old, but let us be sure that the old things are working in our lives, and we've grasped them, and they are making us to be the men and women of God we should before we are seeking to learn new things. Our Father, let us remember, stir us up, and let us be the men and women of God we should. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.